So it's continuing from last week, right? We had discussed about. We actually that what we're discussing today is the inyan of achroza. In other words, the importance of dafke being machriz. Why dafke achroza? And so last week we just ended off with the sikh of Parshas Boy. I'll just repeat it very quickly. And the kudde then Parshas Boy, where the Rebbe speaks about that. The ruchnistic eyes of Klal Yisrael already see the gula. We're only missing the gashmias. This is what the Rebbe says in Parshas Boy. And the chayla, this is a bit of a setback from what the Rebbe has been saying in all the sichas earlier. The Rebbe has all along been saying that you have to see the gula kupshute. And then the Rebbe doesn't mention anything about gashmias at ruchnis at all. Here, all of a sudden, the Rebbe says you should know the ruchnistic eyes of Klal Yisrael already see the gula, but you have to see the gashmias. So the chayla, the Rebbe is sort of telling us a way. We may understand it that the gula is hibaruchnis, but not the gashmis. And as I've actually seen people who actually quote the Rebbe's words as saying such. So the emes is, if you actually look in the sikhi and the sikhis before that, the Rebbe is actually saying exactly the opposite. In other words, the Rebbe is saying, this is the whole sikhi, the whole theme of that sikhi in Parshas Boy, to say that ruchnis is not a deterrent at all. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem with ruchnis. This is sikhi they're discussing about Moshe Rabbeinu. He had no problem with ruchnis. His whole issue was the gilui of the Eibish to Begashmis. Ispiru kol neheri Megashmis. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's concern. So here, based on that and that thinking, that the whole theme of the sikh is built on that. The ruchnis is not an issue. So the Rebbe says now the ruchnis, the eyes of Klal Yisrael already see the gula. And what is important fact that you should see it Begashmis. And when the Rebbe says you should see it Begashmis, he actually says, as it is here, le'enei bosa b'zman hazeh. To see as it is here already, okay. So that's just, okay. Why do we bring in this point that there, to just to emphasize in the kudu of achroza, which is something the Rebbe is continuously speaking in these sikhas, where he says that he's talking about the idea of Ever Mikir Tizak, etc., etc., the in of screaming out, because the expression of your feeling, the expression of any gil we talk about here, has to be begashmis. We're not talking about emotional feelings. This is what the Rebbe is saying in this sikha. Ruchnis, we are Baruch Hashem. That's not an issue. The idea is to realize it. Two, it should be pour out of us, should bust out, it should just pour forth from us, big gashmis, which basically that's the inyan of achroza. So now why? So this is what we're discussing. We're discussing the inyan of achroza. So now, so here we started discussing last week the inyan of Nifloes Gdoilis. In other words, just to explain what's going on over here. We have like this, Chassidus tells us, and the Rebbe brings it down, that you have this Nes and Teva, two distinct different anhogis. In other words, even though it says in many places, from Rabbi Yaakov Emden is brought down, and also from the Baal Shem Tov, somewhere that Nes and Teva both coming from the Eibish. So L'cheira, there's no difference between them. Nevertheless, tells us, you should know Nes and Teva are two different distinct anhogas. Nes is coming from Sefer Kolamin, and Teva is coming from Amala Kolamin. And this is, Alpi Aloch is also that way. And on Nes you make a broch, and on Teva you don't make a broch, etc., etc. So Nes and Teva are completely two distinct different anhogas. Nevertheless, there is an inyan of Nifloes Gdelis. What is the inyan of Nifloes Gdelis? This is the Tzemach Tzedek, is Mazbe. Nifloes Gdelis means when the Nes is mislabish b'teva to such an extent that we don't even realize it is Nifloes. And this is what Chazal say. So referring to these Nifloes, these Nisim, which are completely buried in Teva, completely buried. There's no way we can recognize it. And when are we going to come to recognize it? In your Beis HaMashiach. These are the Nifloes Gdolos. Now, when we say these Nifloes Gdolos, we only come to recognize it in your Beis HaMashiach. What does it mean that we today do not know what these Nifloes Gdolos are? So to be very honest with you, when I learned, going back in Yeshiva many years ago, we were taught, this is much the way we were taught, and it always bothered me. And then at the time, it didn't bother me, it made a lot of sense to me, but later on, going through the years, it sort of didn't fit into different things. The way I was taught, to explain very, very clearly, the Floyd's Deutus is something we don't know what it is today. There's Teva. There's Nisim, which are Lubish and Teva, like Hanukkah and Purim. Then there's Nisim, which are Maile, Mina Teva. Nifloy's Dolus is something that the Tzemach Tzedek explains, and the Rebbe brings it down. It's completely buried in Teva. That means it's, the normal occurrences are going on, and there's Nifloy's Dolus, and we don't know what they are. So the way this is, the way, and could the Chazal say, Ein Balanes Makibin Nisim, we don't know what it is. And this is the way we were taught in Yeshiva, but it seems to be that it's definitely missing the way, this way of putting it either I misunderstood it when it was explained to me or it was not explained to me correctly, but I don't think this is what it really is. Because just to give an example what Nifloy's Gdolus are, so you have, this is what we had last week, when there's a Sikh in Chelik Hey, where the Rebbe says, brings down, we say in Davening, Shabbos Davening, Ilreika Oretz Alamayim Kilon Chasting. The Rebbe explains that, L'Reika Oretz Alamayim Kilam Chasi, it needs continuously the chesed of the Eibishter. Why do they need continuously the chesed of the Eibishter? Just like Kriyas Yamtsev. In order to hold the wall of Kriyas Yamtsev, the Yam, they shouldn't go back and drown the Yidden. You had to have the wind of the Eibishter, and the koyach of the Eibishter was melubish in that wind, which that kept up the wall. If the Eibishter explains in time, the Eibishter would have removed that koyach for one moment, the water would have continued to run, and they would have drowned the Eden. So you have to have this koyach of the Eibishter melubish in the wind to keep the wall erect. Fine. So the same thing that Rebbe is saying over here. Rebbe explains that you have what do we have in this world? The way it works is you have land and you have sea. So why, the question is, why is this land staying above water? After a while, the water should come and eat away in the land, and the whole of America should have been under the sea, something like that. So this is what the Rebbe is saying. So the very fact that the land stays intact and does not get eroded by the water, that is, Rebbe is saying, that is a nest. And Rebbe explains it. It's a nest which is like to Krimis Yamsuf. You need continuously the Eibishter's koyach to keep the land above water. And this is a nest. This is, the Rebbe says, a nest hepecha teva. So what we see over here, the Rebbe is actually taking normal teva, routine teva, which we can completely, absolute consider to be Teva. And what are the Rebbe telling us? No, you should know really this is a nest, and this is a nest which is might the Kriyas Yamtsev completely opposite the Teva that you need continuously the hand of the Eibishter to keep it in existence. Huh? This is Sichin Chelikei and Yutes Kislev. It's a Sichin that's very clear. The Rebbe writes it very, very clearly. Now, to better explain this whole concept which we just now said about keeping the land erect, why did the Rebbe have to say it? To better explain it, we can now, today, what we know from today's, from science today, we come to realize the many wonders of nature we didn't know. In this point, the Rebbe is actually bringing, in this sikh, or this posik, the Rebbe brings, the Reika Oretz Alamayim, he's apparently indicating to us all those new developments of today, which show us the nisim of the Eibishter. So, how did this go? So, we'll start at the opposite end. From the way science says today, this, someone sent it to me, but it's on the, you can get it on YouTube. There's a whole laboratory in some, I don't know where it is, the largest laboratory in the world. And they came out with several years ago with this whole proclamation, this whole statement, that they've been testing the different powers and different forces, the atoms and nutrients, who knows what, and they come to realize there's no coordination between them at all. And they say that the chances for the world to keep on any moment, the world to keep in existence is so remote, they say it's like, take billions of light years, billions, they give you a figure there, who knows how many zeros, billions and billions of light years. One out of one fraction out of all those billions of light years is a possibility the world should stay in existence. Because these so many forces here, and these forces, anything goes out of balance between these forces, everything should just fall away, like implode, I don't know what. And the fact is, the world giving, they say it must be the hand of God, because there's no explanation to it. This is what they write. Now, this is what they say, which is very nice. But then you go back, if you look at the Rebbe, one of the earliest letters the Rebbe wrote But for those who had asked to have a proof there is an Eibush existing, so there is a letter which everyone probably knows of, which was written to Yitzchak the Mil, then, I think in Tovshin, Tezayin, whatever in the early years, the Mil, someone in Eretz, I don't know who is it, maybe a professor, he wants to have an answer for students. This letter has been translated in English, to give them a way to prove to them without any doubt at all that there is an Eibush. So the Rebbe brings 2 points over there. One is Matan Torah, and the second point is the point we just now discussed. When the Rebbe says, if the coordination between the atoms makes no sense, the Rebbe puts it over there. You get up, you're going to sleep tonight, makes no sense at all. Because there's no reason to say that this world should be in the same state tomorrow. So the fact you're going to sleep and you're assuming that you are, there has no basis to it. This is what the Rebbe says. This is what the Rebbe says. So here we see this idea, which is just, we just brought from the Sikh of Lareka or Tzalamayim, that the fact that the land exists, it's a general thinking that today we, Baruch Hashem, can know that the whole Metzias of Olam Hazeh Gashmi, the whole existence, really is purely miracles. It's astounding miracles. It makes no sense at all. That's what it is. So now, this is the Nekuda. Nevertheless, these are called Nefloyes Deiris. Even today, let's say, when we know now so clearly how the whole existence of Teva really makes no sense, we still can say in it, Ein Bala Nes Makribinis. Why can we say, today we can say Lecheda, or that we do know the great Nis in which there are in this. We know it very clearly. But know that it's still, why? Because we, on a normal day-to-day life, we consciously feel this is Teva, this is, we assume it makes sense to us. Even though in essence it's now being proved to us very clearly, it makes no sense, it still makes sense. So we consciously do not aware of the Nes, even though it's been brought to our attention. When Mashiach will come, we will come to realize, yes, this is a true Nes. We're going to see this is, we're looking at this Teva, we're going to realize it's just the Eibishter keeping the Teva together. But so at this point, it's still Ein Bala Nes Makibinisi. Now, let's go another one more step. When we talk about Teva, now we went through this in the past. When we talk about Teva, the way that the Friedrich Rebbe puts it is that there's three different things. There's above Seichel, there's Seichel, and there's beneath Seichel. It's my Seichel. Above my Seichel would be Mesiris Nefesh, Nisim Venefloes. And what's beneath my Seichel? Beneath my Seichel is Anhogas HaTeva. From this, what the Friedrich Rebbe writes, what does it basically tell us? It tells us that Teva is insignificant. There's a value of Seichel. There's some value there, Seichel. The mind of a Seichel, of course, has a value. Teva, it doesn't have any Seichel in it. So it's beneath Seichel. It has no Seichel to it. It's just, okay. It has no value of significance. It's just a dry fact without any Seichel. What the Rebbe does, the Rebbe sort of, whenever he quotes this type of thing about Teva and Seichel, the Rebbe, we can't go into all of it, but the way the Rebbe always says it, he says the same thing with a slight little twist. What does the Rebbe say? The Rebbe says, Teva it's beneath the Seichel. It aligns with the Seichel automatically. It doesn't require my Seichel to testify with it and to understand it. My Seichel identifies with it naturally. So what the Rebbe is telling us Seichel, which we could have understood Seichel to be something, Teva to be something which doesn't have any Seichel to it. No, the Rebbe says, Teva makes sense naturally without even addressing it or analyzing it. It makes sense. You don't have to address it. You don't have to give your attention to it in order to understand it. It's understood naturally. That is the union of Teva. Fine. So now, what do we get from this way, how the Rebbe says that Teva is something which aligns with the Seichel automatically? In other words, Rebbe tells us Teva is not something which is void of a Seichel. It aligns with the Seichel naturally. It doesn't need any explanation to itself. It aligns naturally with the Seichel. What does this tell us? Then now, let's go back to the end of the Nefloyes Deiris. We have today, we just now explained that we today, we our life is full of niflaos gdelos. What do we see niflaos gdelos in a global level? What do you see? The whole existence of the world is niflaos gdelos. Nevertheless, we digest it purely naturally. It doesn't even bother us. We don't even question it. Our existence is fully natural. We accept it with our seichel and everything. What is going to happen now? Yemos HaMashiach, there's going to be a whole new set of niflaos gdelos. What is going to be the new set of niflaos gdelos? The new set of niflaos is going to be that Sam Semti is going to fly to Yerushalayim. There's going to be Tchias HaMesim. We're all going to find out ourselves in Eretz Yisrael. This is a whole new set of niflaos gdelos, which is above anything. But what do we see from this mahalach, when the niflaos gdelos will happen in Yemos HaMashiach? They will be a fact of life then. In other words, Samsemti moving to Yerushalayim then is going to be a fact of reality. Samsemti had moved to Yerushalayim. I guess to bring out, when we say Samsemti is moving to Yerushalayim, doesn't mean it's going to lose its capacity of what it had when it was in America. It's not like you take it up, move Samsemti, and you take it to Yerushalayim. No, when you say 770 going to Yerushalayim means it's got all the pull and all the connections that 770 has to Chatzi Gedora Tachton. We're bringing to the whole Chatzi Gedora Tachton, all its association with America. That whole association is going along with it. Because remember, the base of Mikdash is going to be affecting America and the whole world because of the impact which 770 has on the world. So it's just, then the connection of 770 to Beis HaMikdash is going to be fully realized. It's going to realize the Gashmis also. So 770 is going to be there the Gashmis. But whatever 770 had gained and acquired in Zman HaGolos, which basically is affecting the whole world, that will be there. So 770 is not going to lose its previous status. It's going to have this additional status of being next to the Yerushalayim. So that is really, it's a combination of two opposites. You know, it's going to have this previous status of being the oil of the whole world in Zman HaGolos. And it's going to be in Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim. But nevertheless, at that point, this will be a fact of life. So what will happen then? This fact that 770 in Yerushalayim is going to be a fact of reality. Therefore, we're going to understand it. This is just like we currently understand. We fully align with the niflaos gdelos, which is going on currently. We fully align. We assume it to be natural. Let's take even a better example. You have this metzias of this chair, of this table. It's a yesh hagashmi, yesh. The Alter Rebbe tells us, you know, this yesh hagashmi is coming from Atzmus Umhus. Now, we definitely, L'cheira, we don't understand Atzmus Umhus. So the reason why the Alter Rebbe said this is coming from Atzmus Umhus, because there's no reason to explain how this yesh hagashmi feels itself to be a yesh. And the only way to explain it, by saying it comes from Atzmus Umhus. This, okay, but nevertheless, the fact that yesh hagashmi is here is something we understand very clearly. We have no problem identifying with it, even though it's coming from Atzmus Umhus. So what we see is anything which is a fact of reality, on the contrary, the fact it's a fact of reality, it comes from Atzmus Umhus. It's niflaos gdelos, which is also coming from Atzmus. It's niflaos gdelos. So anything which is coming from Atzmus, maybe yesh haniver, maybe niflaos gdelos, we fully align with it. So therefore, when Mashiach will come in 770, we move to Yerushalayim, it's going to be al pi teva. For sure it's going to be al pi teva. Yeah, it's a fact of reality. It's going to be al pi teva. The only nekuda, which we have discussed several times, is, and we're going to discuss soon again, that this fact that 770 goes to Yerushalayim is not only going to be al pi teva after 770 moves to Yerushalayim. No, that's not the way it works. It's a fact, it's going to be al pi teva, it's going to make logical sense that 770 should move to Yerushalayim before Mashiach comes. And because we will logically identify with the fact that, you know, it makes sense, it full logic, the logic dictates 770 should move to Yerushalayim. And we identify with that, that's when 770 will move to Yerushalayim. So that our identification with 770 being logically in Yerushalayim comes before 770 actually moves. It moves there. It's our identification which takes 770 to move there. Okay, so we spoke about this, about this Nukudah. The point is that all these Nafloah's stories of Amesha Mashiach make, the way it works is, the Rebbe explains in the Maimer that all these niflaos gdelos are going to make sense. Why will it make sense? Because they're going to be a factor of reality. Once something comes a factor of reality, it makes full sense. The only thing is that we have to come to realize that the Rebbe is telling us, you should know already makes full sense today, and once we will come to recognize with the fact that it makes full sense, that's what will make it happen. So now, you're still ready to continue? Okay, fine. So now let's go over to the Inyan of Niflois. This we spoke about in the world, Niflois Gedolus, in the world, the world existence of the world not falling apart, moving to Yerushalayim. Let's talk about Ask Bnei Yisrael ourselves. So the way it works is, this is also something we discussed many times, the way it works is that the Goyim, the Rambam tells us, we, in order to influence Goyim to keep the seven mitzvahs, they have to be forced. Why do they have to be forced? Lock of Kol Boi Olam. Why do they have to be forced? Why? So the Rebbe explains, and we discussed this many times, because the natural tendency of a Goy is he does not want to keep the seven mitzvahs. He doesn't want to keep it. For many, you know, why should he want to keep it? Therefore, the only way a Goy can come to keep it is by Yid imposing it on the Goy. Imposing it either through real force or through power of influence, whatever it is. Fine. No, fine. Then there's another thing is we also know that Goyim naturally hate a Yid. And therefore, for these two reasons, because the Goyim naturally won't identify with the Sheva Mitzvahs, and he naturally hates a Yid also, which actually goes, both of these go together. Therefore, the Yidden of the existence of Yidden amongst Goyim is many times on Hogan Nissus. And this is what all the Nissim which we have in Divrei Mei Yisrael, Purim, Pesach, all of these different Nissim, because an hog of Yidden amongst Goyim is an hog of Nissim. Nevertheless, the ultimate matara is not that we should live, our existence among Goyim should be an hog of Nissim. The ultimate matara is that it should come an hog of Tivis. What does it mean, an hog of Tivis? And actually, on an actual state and actual situation, a Goy should want to respect the Yid. He should want to keep the Shabbat Mitzvah. He should want that Yidin should keep Torah. He should want that Yidin should be in Ezra, etc., etc. That is the ultimate purpose. So therefore we find that even though the existence of Klal Yisrael together with Goyim usually many times depends on Nissim Gluim, these are the Nissim which we have throughout history, nevertheless there is exception to this rule. And what is this exception to this rule? This is something we discussed many times, where the Rebbe brings down the Ness of Shabbos HaGadol, for instance. What happens by the Ness of Shabbos HaGadol? The Ness of Shabbos HaGadol was after the stream had all the Makkas, which these Makkas were Nisim and Nifloes Mamish. What happened by Shabbos HaGadol? The Rebbe says Shabbos HaGadol, this is the Sikh of the Rebbe in Chedek of Zion, which is it's brought out very, very clearly, and the Rebbe spells it out very clearly there. Shabbos HaGadol, the Rebbe says, was not a Ness. He explains, Purim was a Ness. This was a Ness. Shabbos HaGadol is no Ness. Why is it no Ness? The Rebbe says, why? Push this up. After the stream already suffered nine markers from the Yidden. Now the Yidden tell them, you know, if we're going, that tonight, you're all going to be killed. Why should these Mitzrim not go fight with their elders? They're sure they're going to fight. After seeing the nine markers, for sure they're going to fight. What did the Rebbe say? It's not a Ness at all. Nevertheless, we know in the Sichas of all the years, the Rebbe tells us, all the years, every Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos HaGadol is not only a Ness, it's a Ness Gadol. So here you have the Rebbe's, you hear the Rebbe's like talking on two different tracks. Here one side is telling us, you should know Shabbos HaGadol as opposed to all other Nisim is not a Ness. And another track that Rebbe is telling us, the Ness Gadol, it's not only the Ness, it's bigger than all other Nisim. So what is the explanation to it? It's the explanation there in the Sikha itself. And this is the Nekudah of the explanation of what? The fact, this is what we have to, and this is the point, we have to focus on. The fact that the Teva, true, wasn't a Ness, but the fact that the Teva was influenced to go along, the Teva was impacted to go along with the Rotten of the Eibishter, to go along with Yidden, that is the biggest Ness. In other words, going back to what we said before, the way Hashem created the world, Goyim don't want to hear Shavuot Mitzvahs, Goyim hate Yidden, the Vilnius don't want to have this higher authority. So that's the way it works. The fact that they can be impacted, you have many nisim, but when this ness actually obtains a goal of impacting the tev, of impacting the goy should want to go along with the yid. That is the greatest ness. And that is why Shabbos is a godel, because that is the whole matari. The matari is we shouldn't have to remain and depend on nisim, but the tev should go along. This is also, where do we see this also? We see this also by the Ness of Yud, it's brought out very clearly by the Ness of Yud based Tam, the Ness of Yud based Tamas. But the Ness of Yud based Tamas, you see the Sikh of the Rebbe, the Yud sits about this, it's brought out even more by Yud based Tamas. The Rebbe explained that Yud based Tamas was a Ness above all the Nissim, above all the Nissim. On the same time, let us just ask ourselves, what did the Rebbe explain? Why was a Ness of Yud based Tamas above all the Nissim? Now look at the explanation of the Rebbe. Who are Pesha also, who are Pesha Hitler? The actual Goy, these communists who arrested the Friedrich Rebbe, they're the ones who changed their thinking, and they came to the conclusion by force, whatever it was, that they have to free him. Now, asking ourselves, was there any mess here? Selemaile Mitam, like the ness of the Makis, of ness of these Makis? No! There was a chere, there was the shtadlus. True, the shtadlus was successful. So you can tell me it was similar to the Ness of Purim. Like Esther was a mishtadl, so that we had this, and Yidin was saved. Why did the Rebbe take Yitzchak Yud based Thomas, both of these Nisim, and place them above all the Nisim of Divrei Yimei Yisrael, when the chere, everything was mishtabishes b'teva, and can say that it was like the Ness of Purim? So the answer to this is in this very Nekuda itself. The Rebbe says, "Who are Pesha also? Who are Pesha Hita?" By the Ness of Purim, let's say there was a Shtadlis. But ultimately, the Yidden have to go and fight the war and kill the Goyim, the enemies. Haman had to be hung. Here, the position, true, it was went through the channels of Teva. But the channels of the Teva managed to affect the opposition, to change its thinking. That type of Ness, the opposition, what happened, the way it works in Nisim, Divrei Yimei Yisrael, is the position is always crushed. The position is crushed and killed. You don't have a situation, Divrei Yimei Yisrael, that the position should be transformed. Why? Because the way we said before, Goy is against the Yid, and etc., etc. The way it works is, if you all the Nisim work, you take the opponent, you crush him, because the opponent is against the Yid. Here by Yud Beis Tamas, here's a Gil of Chassidus. When Gil of Chassidus, first time you find it, Shabbos Gadol after 9 Makas. Here Yud Beis Tamas, there weren't any 9 Makas beforehand. They were in complete superiority. They didn't have any 9 Makas beforehand. Nevertheless, they came to change. That is a Gil of Chassidus. The Gil of Chassidus changes, transforms the Teva of the world, and therefore this Goy came to change, allow the Friedrich Rebbe out. This is the greatness of Yud Beis Tamas. So now let's go over to the Ness of Milchemes HaMifrats, where there the Rebbe tells us, tells about the Ness of Milchemes HaMifrats, the most amazing words, where the Rebbe says that it's a Gilei of Atzmus. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable to hear the words of the Rebbe. What was the big Ness of Milchemes HaMifrats? What was the big Ness? So the Rebbe explains that the nations coordinated together. And what are the biggest Ness? Where the Rebbe said, this was the Skalas Atzmus. What are the biggest Ness? That Saddam gave back money to America. Right? And that money, just by the way, as we know today, a lot of it got lost. Okay? Just by the way. That is where Atzmus was in Gali himself. He gave back some captives, some Goyish captives, which with some Goyish captives, and he also gave back some money. This is the Indian, this is Gilei Atzmus. So Cheder, this is the Rebbe says Gilei Atzmus, that means the Rebbe says on this, Martin, it says in Tanya, Martin Teres Me'en, Yemesh Mashiach. So the Rebbe says, this is what it says in Tanya, Martin Teres Me'en, Yemesh Mashiach, is referring to what happened, Chedish Nissen this year, that what? Saddam gave back some captives to America. That is a big Ness. Nothing related to Yidden, etc., etc. It's all about the going. What is the big Ness here? So it goes in the same Nakuda. The same Nakuda we said by the Friedrich Rebbe. The way it works in the world is against Torah. The way the Torah overcomes the world is by crushing the world, by raising the world. That's how all the Nissim work. To manage to affect the world, the world on its own accord, but this is actually what happened here by the Persian Gulf War, that all the Goyim got together. And not only the Goyim got together, the biggest Nes is that ultimately Saddam decided to cooperate, which we can't go into all the details, which was a very unexpected thing, as the Rebbe explains that. This is Gilei Atzmus. What does it mean? Why is it Gilei Atzmus? Because this has proven we reach this time, with time and stage where this you can influence anyone in the world through the natural channels. If you can influence anyone in the world through the natural channels, that is a Gilei Atzmus. That's a Gilei Atzmus. This is what happened here by the Megalfor. Now, putting all of this together. So now, we to put this all together, I think we're going to have to go to the next week. So, should we leave it for next week?
Good.
Yes, next week, you say? Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we'll leave it for next week. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll continue next week.